Phenomenal. Cool. Well, we're going to dive straight in because we're in the middle of a series at the moment called the Logic of the Cross series. The Logic of the Cross. If this is your first message in the series, I'm going to give you a little bit of context and background to help you understand kind of where we're at. And this is a kind of a message which you don't need to have heard any of the others to understand what we're going to speak about today. But I want to give you a little bit of context about that. And we're looking at the book of Hebrews from the Bible. It's one of the books in the New Testament. And this book of the Bible is all about showing God's plan for rescuing mankind and for God's purposes for people's lives. About rescuing mankind and God's purposes for people's lives. It was written to a Jewish people who were Christians, a group of Jewish people who were Christians. So they were Jewish and had that heritage and background, but they decided to become Christians. They'd decided to follow Jesus and put their trust in him and become followers of him. It was written to them about 2,000 years ago, so it can be difficult to understand. As far as I know, maybe you are Jewish, but as far as I know, we don't have many Jewish people here in church, so you probably don't understand from that context, and none of us were alive 2,000 years ago, so we don't understand from that context either. So it can be a book that's difficult to understand. But it's full of principles for life. It helps us to understand how to read our Bibles. And part of being a Christian is using our minds. It's loving God, not just with our voices or with our finances we talked about this morning or worshiping. It's about using our minds as well. And sometimes we've got to get the gray matter involved and get it going and think, actually, no, it's time for you to stop being a little bit lazy up there, gray matter. I'm going to start thinking. I'm going to start applying my mind to understanding. And we need a little bit of that when we're reading this book and when we're understanding this book. Hebrews shows connections between the Old Testament, so the part of the book that was written further long ago, and the New Testament, which was written about 2,000 years ago. And it helps explain how the Old Testament and the New Testament link together. And so it's a great book to understand if you're new to faith or you've just made a decision or you want to go deeper. It's a great book to understand because it helps connect the dots throughout the whole Bible. And it also explains how Jesus has been involved from the very beginning. That Jesus isn't just in the New Testament. He's not just the latter part of the Bible, he's all the way through. And Hebrews talks about that as well. But Hebrews has one main point. It has one main point, which we've said again and again from here, and we'll keep on repeating because it's so crucial. And it was the main reason the letter was written to this group of Jewish Christians. It says, don't give up on faith. For some of you, that's all you need to hear this morning. Don't give up on faith. Don't give up on faith. For some of you, you may have made a decision a long time ago, but you drift in and out of it. For you, don't give up on faith. For some of you, maybe you've made a decision relatively recently about being a Christian or something like that. And the word for you is don't give up on faith. Keep on going. For some of you, you're exploring and asking those questions. Don't give up on faith. Keep on going. Keep on stepping forwards. You know, because the whole point of this book is saying don't give up on faith. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on pursuing God's plan and purpose for your life because he's got a great one. No matter how hard or difficult or challenging it may be, there is a better day ahead. The best is yet to come in your life, in your family's life, in your future. The best is yet to come. So that's a little bit of the context. But can I encourage you, if you've not heard any of the other messages, to go and get the podcast, go onto the website or iTunes. Because it will help you understand more about this series. With that being said, we're going to look at Hebrews 6, verse 13 to 20 today. So if you've got Bibles or Bible apps, you can turn to that. It will be on the screen behind me as well. And we're going to read that in just a few minutes' time. If you're taking notes or you just like a title for a message, to put it in some context, the message is called Promises Produce Faith. Promises Produce Faith. Have you ever been in a sticky situation? Have you ever been in a situation where stuff's gone wrong? A situation where you're wondering if there's a way out, but you can't see it? The choices you can make in this difficult situation are at best difficult choices, hard choices to make. And at worst, you don't really have any options. It feels like there's no way through. You're stuck. And it feels like the situation will carry on forever. Can anybody relate to that? Maybe you're going through a situation like that right now. Maybe you're stuck in a place like that. Or maybe you have been in the past. I'm sure if you've done any part of life at all, you're going to come across a situation like that where life is challenging, where things are tough, and where it just seems like there's no way out. A few years ago, I was in a financial tight spot. The business that I'm part of, we'd expanded and we'd borrowed hundreds of thousands of pounds to expand what we were doing as a business. And it hadn't gone to plan, quite honestly. We just weren't that good at what we were doing at that time. And we'd made mistakes. The business was losing money. The cash flow was going down. We repeatedly had to go back to the bank and to other people and take out loans to keep us going, keep the cash flow going. And I was in that situation where I was just working harder and harder. I was trying harder and I was trying to do all the right things. I was trying to fix it myself. And I was just trying to do everything I possibly could, save money at home, you know, all the things that you would normally do in a tight situation. But it was just getting worse and worse. I didn't see any way out. And then one morning, I just got the post out of my letterbox and opened it. And there was a check for £5,000 in there. And I was like, where has this come from? But it came to me just at the moment that I needed it. It came to me just at the moment where my overdraft was full. I had all the loans I could take. I didn't know what the next step was or what I was going to do. And it saved me in that moment. And it was a miracle for me in that moment. Now looking back, I think, did I pray about it? Yes, I did. Did I have much faith? Some of the time, maybe, but a lot of time, I'm not sure I did. I think I maybe just had a little bit of faith there. And I wasn't even thinking, most of the time, I was just trying to fix it myself, and I was working harder and trying to do all these things to fix it, but I just couldn't do it, but maybe I had a little bit of faith. Looking back now, I know that little bit of faith was enough to see God's promise fulfilled in my life. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." God fulfilled this promise in my life in that moment for me. Now, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're just exploring the issues of faith and you think, oh, that's just a coincidence that it turned upon that day. Well, you can have that opinion, but I know that was God in that moment. For me, God came through on one of his promises and saved me when I'd made mistakes and I'd done the best I could, but I just had a little bit of faith. But I believe it was God. Either way, I still had a little bit of faith in that moment for my future, that there was a better future ahead. I think we all have a little bit of faith. If we had none, we'd give up. We all have a little bit of faith in something or someone or some future or some picture. Or we all have a little bit of faith, whether we count ourselves as people of faith or whether we don't or not. We all have a little bit of faith in something. The question is, where is your little bit of faith going? Where is your little bit of faith going? What are you putting it in? Are you putting it in Jesus and in everything he's done? Are you putting it in people? Are you putting it in money or a career? Are you putting it in the hope of a future relationship? Are you putting it in the past or someone maybe that was long ago and your little bit of faith is in what they said? Where are you putting your little bit of faith? So that's the question I want to pose to you. Where is your little bit of faith going? So let's go into Hebrews 6, verse 13. I'm going to read from 13 to 20. And as I read through this, as I said that before, it can be difficult to understand. So I'm going to stop quite a few times as we go through this because I want to help us unpack it. So you're going to need to switch your brains on. So there's quite a lot to get into there. But hopefully this will be helpful to you. And it may even just be a stepping board for you to have a look at this passage at home and think, actually, I'm going to drill down a little bit more. I'm going to read a little bit more into this. Is that okay? Yeah. You all doing good?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, Hebrews 6, verse 13. Starts here, says, when God made his promise to Abraham. When God made his promise to Abraham. So Abraham, he lived about 4,000 years ago. He was Jewish. God appeared to him and said that he would have as many descendants as there were stars in the sky. God made him a promise. God made his promise to Abraham that he would be the father of nations. And these many descendants would be a blessing to the entire world. That's what God's promise. The problem was that Abraham and his wife Sarah had no children. And they were old. Abraham was 75. Sorry, my dad is 75. It does mean that you're older, Dad, unfortunately. But you've got lots of time to come yet, Dad. As long as you're alive, there's something for you to do. I passionately believe that. And Dad's one of my heroes. I'm going to tell a story about him a little bit later, actually. The 75 was Abraham, and his wife was 65, Sarah. They had no children. They couldn't have children. They tried, and they couldn't have children. But that was the first problem. The second problem was their age. You know, no one 65, 75 has children. But God promised that they would have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. So when God made his promise to Abraham, let's carry on. Since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. So God made a promise, said, Abraham, you're going to have children, you're going to have many descendants. And he said, I swear by myself that you're going to have all these. Have you ever said, when you're trying to convince someone of something, I swear that that's the truth, or I swear on my mother's life, or cross my heart, hope to die, I swear that is the truth, or I swear I'm going to do it this time, or, you know, have you ever said that, or someone has said that to you maybe? Yeah, that God was doing that in this place. But because God is God, he didn't have anyone else to swear by, so he swore by himself. There is no higher authority than God, so he swore by himself because there's no one greater. Verse 14, let's carry on, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. So that was the promise. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Abraham had a little bit of faith. He was old. He couldn't have children. His wife was old. He had a little bit of faith that God would fulfill his promise. And after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. He had a son in his old age. I think, if I remember correctly, Abraham was 90 years old when he had a son. 90 years old when he had his son Isaac. I reckon when God came through, Abraham's faith grew a little bit. When a promise is fulfilled, faith grows. Promises produce faith. Verse 16, let's carry on. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. When you swear by something, it just puts an end to it. You're trying to just convince someone. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. It's a double confirmation. God's word is absolutely trustworthy. If God says something, it's going to happen because he's God. He's all-powerful. He created everything. He can do anything that he wants to. But God just doesn't stop there with the word. He says, I swear by myself that it will happen. He's saying, you can take this to the bank. This is the most thing that you can trust in your life above anything you can see, anything you can touch, anything you can read, anything else. You can trust this above anything else. You can trust my promises. God makes it doubly dependable by swearing an oath. Verse 18, God did that so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So two unchangeable things is the promise and the oath. Impossible for God to lie. God is completely dependable. And fled to take hold of this hope. So it's trusting in the promise that's taking hold of the hope. Just want you to remember the context of this letter. It was written to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted. They were in trouble. At the time of then, the Romans were persecuting them. They were literally executing them and torturing them and trying to convert them away from Christianity. They were in trouble. So this letter was written to say, you can be encouraged because God's promise is true for you now. It's true for you whatever you're facing. Verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. Let's drill in a little bit more here. This refers to the temple. So the Jewish used to go and worship at the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was a building not too dissimilar to the size of this building, a little bit bigger than this, but it had sort of a courtyard around the outside where people would gather, but inside it had kind of a main worship space like this. But if you imagine a sort of a big curtain here dividing sort of the main space by this little bit of space at the front. And what the Jewish people believed was that God's presence dwelt in this little space at the front. They called it the Holy of Holies, or the inner sanctuary, as it's described here. And that place where they believed God was dwelt, no one could go in there except the high priest, the chief priest, the head guy who was the head of the worshippers. He could go in there once a year, but that was it. The high priest was allowed in there once a year. But this is saying that Jesus has entered this place on our behalf. So to do that, we've got to head to the Gospels and understand that in the Gospels, which are the description of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, what he did. When Jesus died on the cross, it says that the curtain in the temple was torn in two. So this big curtain that separated the kind of the people from God's presence, this big barrier, actually split in half. So Jesus, by what he did on the cross, he tore down this big curtain. And so he made it possible for people just like us right here, right now, to be able to encounter God, to have a relationship with God, to be with God, to know him. They weren't separated from him anymore. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. He's saying, the way is open. You can completely trust it. God is there. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk through life with you. He wants to know you. That's just a really quick version of what that means. If you want to know more, come ask me or Pastor Dave or ask your Connect group leader. We'd love to talk more. And just to finish off, verse 20. It says, he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Basically, really quickly, Melchizedek was the first high priest. That's a really short summary. There's so much more to it than that. But Pastor Dave spoke about it a little bit in his message. But again, if you want more information, come talk to us. There's a whole bunch of things you can read, or we can talk to you if you want to know more about it. So hopefully that helps you understand. Does that passage make a little bit more sense to you now? I can see some nods out there. A little bit more. If you know all about it, that's awesome. But hopefully that just makes a bit more sense. But the question we need to ask right now is, what does this mean for us right now, today, in this day, for us, as we go back to work Monday or whatever we do during the week? What does this passage mean for us now? Basically, it means promises produce faith. Promises produce faith because God's promises are certain, true, and dependable. They produce faith because they come true. Promises produce faith. That leads us to hope and leads us to perseverance and helps us to keep on going through life. When I was 7 years old, I saw a bird table in a magazine. I think it was in a magazine. It was wooden, had two levels. It was a beautiful bird table, had kind of a sort of a pole, a post kind of supporting all, and it had this sort of bit of carving on the side as well, had the little hooks underneath, you know, where you hook the bird feeders on. It had a little space for the kind of the water. You could put that in there. There's lots of space for the birds on the top and kind of in between where they could shelter a little bit. And for some reason, I saw this bird table and thought, I want that bird table. That is an awesome bird table. I was 7 years old. I don't know why. I just thought I wanted that bird table. So what did I go do? I went and asked my dad to make it for me. I said, Dad, can you make this bird table? I didn't just ask him once, though. You can go and verify the story with my dad. I don't know for how long, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I just repeat, said, Dad, will you make this bird table for me? I've got this bird table. Dad, will you make this bird table for me? And Dad, will you make this bird table for me? And I was like, oh, maybe sometime, maybe later. Dad, will you make this bird table for me? Possibly sometime. I'm just busy, right? Dad, will you make this bird table for me? Dad, will you make this? I said, yes, I'll make this bird table for you. I will make it for you. And he did. And I followed him to the workshop. I don't know whether I was checking on him to make sure he'd do it, but I followed him to the workshop and I saw him literally there and then. He made this bird table for me, and we had it out in the garden, and for years he made this bird table. But as soon as Dad said, yes, I will make the bird table, I stopped asking. I had faith. I had a little bit of faith. I knew that my dad would fulfill his promise, that yes, I will make it for you. I knew in that moment that he would fulfill his promise. His promise to me had produced faith in me. A little bit of faith in me. That's all faith is, just believing what someone has said. My dad made a promise and I knew he would keep it. I had faith in the promise that he made to me. His promise produced faith in me. And that's the heart of this passage. God's promises are ones that you can trust, and they are trustworthy because of who God is. God's promises are secure. You can trust in them. So have a little bit of faith. That's all God's asking for, a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. My dad is my hero, and although he would be the first to say that he's not perfect, he's never knowingly, as far as I can remember, he's never broken a promise to me. I've always had certainty and security in my relationship with my dad. If he'd said something, I could take that to the bank. I know he's going to fulfill it. I know he's going to do what he says. But some of you may not have had a dad like that, or a mom, or you may never have even had anyone in your life who has been like that. There is someone who you can trust and depend on. There is a person who is completely trustworthy. You know, and even the best of heroes, and I said my dad isn't perfect. They're not perfect, but God is perfect. He is trustworthy. You can rely on his promises completely and fundamentally and wholly, and you can live the whole of life in certainty and security. You can live the whole of life in certainty and security. I don't know who doesn't want more of that certainty and security in their lives. But when you trust in God's promises, when you have that little bit of faith, it brings certainty and security. So for the rest of this message, I want to talk to you about some of the promises that God makes to people, some of the types of promise, and we'll look at some of the actual promises that God makes for people. I want to talk to you about those, and I believe if you're a Christian that these will encourage you. They'll make your life more certain and more secure, and they'll strengthen your faith, and you'll just have a little bit more faith this morning at the end of this message. If you're struggling as a Christian, I believe they'll help you to keep you going. The book of Hebrews is all about helping Christians keep going who were struggling, who were in a difficult place, and they're under persecution. I mean, none of us are, but that if you're in this difficult place right now, these promises will help you. Just have to have a little bit of faith in them, a little bit of faith. And if you're not a Christian, maybe you're just exploring those issues of faith, We all put our faith in something or someone, as I said before. What are you putting your faith in? Faith in the right place will help your life. Faith in the wrong place will not help your life. Where you put your faith will change your destiny. Where you put your faith will change your destiny. So hopefully I'll give you some promises and give you something to think about if you're just asking those questions and exploring faith. You all doing good?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, okay, you ready for promise one? Promise one is a miracle promise. A miracle promise. Psalm 121 verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. My friend Andy was from university. He's one of my best friends. I was the best man at his wedding. And he was telling me a story one time at uni. He'd been out climbing in the Lake District, or kind of walking and climbing. He didn't do loads of it. He just enjoyed getting out there, as we often do. Beautiful place, the Lake District. And they were walking along, and they decided to traverse a ravine. So if you know anything about the Lake District, there are some fairly steep places and places where you can climb and so on. And you can't fall thousands of feet or anything like that, but some of them are dozens or hundreds of feet. And they decided just to kind of go along one of these edges. And so they were came along, him and the group of friends, and it was a little bit wet, he was a little bit tired, didn't do it a huge amount, and as he was going along, got about halfway across into the most trickiest part, and he realized he was getting pretty tired, his hands were getting sweaty, and he was beginning to lose grip, and the grips that were there were getting smaller and harder to hang on to. And as he was going along, he kind of just had that moment of panic, and think, actually, things are not quite as I want them to be here in this moment. And as he was sort of stepping along, the handholds were getting less and less. And he got to this point where he was really struggling. He was kind of just hanging on a little bit. And he kind of looked down and he could see a ledge just a little bit further along. He thought, actually, if I get my foot across to that, that's a decent ledge. I'll be okay. I can move on to the next bit. And just as he was about to go, he slipped, literally slipped. And his foot went, his hands went, and he slipped. And it's that moment, that second, where everything seems to slow down. That moment where in a car crash or something's gone wrong and the world just pauses for a moment. And he said it was exactly like the world just paused for a moment. Whoosh, and just a whole bunch of things went through his mind in that moment. But it must have been half a second or a second. His foot went down, it hit something solid. I was like, oh, great. There must have been a ledge there that I didn't see just underneath him. And his foot was solid. He managed to grab back on. As he grabbed back on, he looked down and his foot was in midair. There was nothing underneath it. He had to double check. His friend looked across, like, there's nothing underneath your foot. But his weight was on it. It was solid. It wasn't moving in that moment. He didn't stay very long on that place. He soon moved across to the next ledge, and then he carried on. But as he was kind of carrying on, he remembered this promise. He will not let your foot slip. God never sleeps and never slumbers. He didn't let his foot slip. A miracle. He remembered that verse. Do you need a miracle? Do you need a miracle? You know, the Bible is full of promises that lead to miracles. I'm not saying you're going to have a miracle every day or every week, but God is the God of miracles. God can turn impossible situations into possible ones. God can do something spectacular like that, where that certainly saved my friend from serious injury, if not death, because God had a plan and a purpose for his life. God has a miracle for your life when you need it in the right moment and the right time. My miracle was a financial one. I told you my story. I wasn't expecting, quite honestly, I wasn't even almost believing for it. Yeah, I prayed and I had a little bit of faith, but God comes through on his promises. All we need is a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith. That's all we need, a little bit of faith. Is this okay? Is this making sense? Promise number two. Promise number two is a generational promise, a generational promise. Genesis 12:2 says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Now, this was part of God's promise to Abraham that I mentioned earlier from the passage of Hebrews. That was the direct words from Genesis that God spoke to Abraham. The promise for Abraham wasn't for now, wasn't for his life. It was for his future. It was a multi-generational promise that stretched off into the future. And God is still fulfilling that now. In Hebrews 11:13, it talks a little bit about Abraham. And I just want to read that to you because it helps put this promise in context. It says, all these people, including Abraham, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Some of the promises in the Bible are not for us. And sometimes we think they are and we cling on to them, hang on to them for ourselves. Sometimes we've got to believe for our children, our grandchildren. We've got to believe off into the future, believe off into the distance for something in the future. Sometimes we can be so obsessed with ourselves, and quite honestly, some people can be so obsessed with the miracle promise, they forget the generational promise. It would make so much more difference if they're just hanging on to that miracle promise all the time. Generational promises. You know, these generational promises, I say they're not for us, but it takes our little bit of faith to believe in them. They're for our situation, our future of who we are. For example, the promise of heaven when we die, that isn't for our life now, but that's for our eternal future. If you're a Christ follower, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus, with God in paradise forever. It's going to be perfect. Has God promised you something for the future? Have a little bit of faith. You may not see it right now, but God will come through on it. God will come through on his promise. Have a little bit of faith. Maybe there's a generational cycle of hurt or pain or broken relationships or abuse or whatever it may be, illness in your family. God wants to break those generational cycles. And all it takes to change that is a little bit of faith from one person to make a change in your family, in your generation, in your situation, your circumstance, whatever it is. God wants to bring blessing and goodness into your family and into the future. Have a little bit of faith. Just thinking about Abraham, I was thinking when he gave, God gave him a son, Isaac, and he had a little bit of faith before that, but I just reckon his faith lifted up a little bit, and he thought, if he could do this, looked into the future and just dreamed a little bit and thought, I'm going to bless the whole world through me. I'm going to bless the whole world through me. His faith would rise in that moment. Let your faith rise when you think about the future. Let your faith rise when you think about the future. Okay, just turn to someone and say, I'm really enjoying this message. Awesome. I'm getting some good feedback here. It's feeling good. You guys are awesome. Come on, promise number three. You ready? Promise number three, a personal promise. A personal promise. Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. The Bible is full of personal promises to every individual. I want to give you a few examples. Some of these promises are about if we're generous and we give, we'll be blessed and our world will get larger. Some of the promises are about the future, that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. See, you're not here by mistake. You're not an accident. Someone, it didn't just happen, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants to do good things through your life. That's a personal promise for you. And it doesn't matter what stage of life that you're at, which is why I can say to my dad who's older, God's still got a plan and a purpose for your life. He has for every single person, wherever we come from, whatever circumstance, wherever we've been, wherever we're going. God has a promise about that. God has a promise that if we plant ourselves in the house of God, that we will flourish, that our life will grow and will prosper and will increase in our lives, and our world will grow if we plant it in the house of God. It's a promise, a personal promise that God makes to us. There's promises about what we sow in life that we will reap. Maybe you've heard that old proverb before, you'll reap what you sow in life. If you're someone who encourages and believes the best and says good into people's lives, you know what? People will return that to you. That will return back to your life. If you're negative and cynical and things, don't be surprised if all your friends are negative and cynical, and they speak that back into your life. We reap what we sow. It's a personal promise from God. But the greatest personal promise we have is how to make our peace with God. Through Jesus, our sins can be forgiven and we can be set free. If you're a Christian, you know that's the most amazing promise that you've ever received and that you ever will receive. All the other promises pale into insignificance compared to that one. If you're not familiar with this, let me explain. God created a perfect world. He created a perfect world with human beings in. There was no injustice, no war, no pain, no sickness. Nothing was wrong at all. But he gave human beings free will. And we still do have free will. And human beings with that free will, it's described in the Bible, they choose to sin. They choose to reject God and turn away from him. They choose not to follow his instructions. And they mess it all up. And they became selfish. They did what they wanted to do, not what God wanted to, not what was best, not what was good. And it brought sin into the world, injustice and pain and things that we do to other people, stuff that we do to ourselves, things that we say to ourselves. This is all sin. It led to death. We were never meant to die, but death was a consequence of that sin. And because of that sin, it separated us from God. It's why the Jewish people had the picture in the temple of this big curtain that separated them from God, because God was so perfect and good. That sin, it just got him so angry that he could not interact with that sin. And he knew that people couldn't fix the mistake they'd made. They couldn't fix that sin, all that rubbish and junk in their lives. And he loved people so much, he decided to fix it himself, fix it for us on our behalf. And so he sent Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died a sinner's death on a cross. Jesus was perfect. He didn't deserve to die on a cross. But he took our sin, our shame, our weakness, injustice, past, present, and future. He took the whole lot there, so that everyone who believes, as this promise says, will be free from sin. And when we're free from sin, we can have a relationship with God. Can I hear an amen for that? When we're free from sin, we can have a relationship with God. Everything has been washed away, defeated once and for all. And Jesus came back to life again after dying, proving that he'd conquered death, proving that that last enemy of sin, as it's described, death, actually wasn't the end, because God was stronger and God was more powerful. And there was a future hope for every single person. And everyone who believes and asks for forgiveness is forgiven, set free from sin, to have peace with God and to have a relationship with God. A relationship begins. You know, this promise leads to faith. If you're a Christian, you believed in this promise and had a little bit of faith one day. Said, actually, I believe that you've washed my sins, you've taken my sins away. Jesus, I trust in you now. Only a little bit of faith. As you put your faith in this promise, it opens up all the other promises of God to you as well. It's the first step on opening all the other promises of God to you. For your life, your family's life, your street's life, your city's life, your work life, every part of your life opens up to the promises of God. We're going to come into close now, so we'll get the worship team up. Just a few minutes left. So three types of promises that lead to faith. You only need a little bit of faith to believe in a promise. You don't need a lot. So have faith in God's promises. Can I encourage you, have faith in God's promises. No one can force you to do this. No one can get inside your heart or your head. It's just a simple choice that you make. Have a little bit of faith. There's a better future ahead. The best is yet to come. Promises lead to faith. Faith leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to hope that there is a better future. The best is yet to come in your life. We all need a little bit more. Your life can be challenging. You know, the news can so often seem dark, and I was reflecting on it over this last 2 weeks. The news can so often seem dark, but I was switching the news on this week, and it was all good news. The British team have won another gold medal. The British team are in second in the medals table. The British team have done something else amazing. I don't know about you, but I just loved hearing good news on the news rather than bad news. And I think someone should start a good news channel. Someone should start a business. We're going to just show good news all the time. We're not going to have any bad news on this news channel. I think it would be very popular. So that's a business idea for someone there to make tons of money from, because we need more news channels like that. But you know, life can be difficult. Life can be depressing. Life can be challenging at times. There are obstacles and mountains that we'll face. If you go through any part of life, there will be difficulties. But a little bit of faith can change everything. A little bit of faith in the promise of God can open up the future. A little bit of faith in the promise of God can open up a generational change in a family. A little bit of faith in the promise of God can change your destiny. A little bit of faith. God's looking for a little bit of faith this morning. He's not looking for a lot. He's not looking for an archbishop's amount of faith. He's not looking for faith that is off the scale. He's looking for a little bit of faith. That's all he's looking for from you, a little bit of faith. He's not looking for someone perfect. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for your faith. If you have none at the moment, or you know you've put your faith in the wrong place, and if you put your faith in the wrong place, it fails. Things fall out from underneath you. Things that you thought you could depend upon are gone. Why not make a little step this morning? Give God a go. Put a little bit of faith in one of his promises. Give it a shot. Test the promise of God. Maybe you've put your faith in the wrong things all of your life. You know you have. It's taken this moment to realize that you've done that. God is there. He loves you. He knows you've made mistakes, but he sent Jesus to fix those and to wipe that sin away. That's a promise to you. All he's saying is, if you just come to me, just simply pray a little prayer. God, if you're there, I want to know you. Please reveal yourself to me. God will come and he will meet with you wherever you're at, whatever situation. If you're putting your faith in the promise of God, don't stop. Find another one. put a little bit of faith in it. God's got a whole new level for you to go to. Maybe you've had some setbacks. Maybe you've had some rejections. God's got a whole nother level for you to go to. What promise of God do you need to have faith in right now? Do you feel like your faith is small? That's okay. What promise do you need to hold on to and let your faith rise a little bit? Just a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. A little bit of faith.